Hello everyone, it's Friday and that means that it's time for another episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast, and not just any episode, as today we are going to begin the Axis campaign. This is the second campaign of the Rotating Heroes podcast, a completely new world as created by me, Jasper William Cartwright, your GM, just in case you're joining us for the first time, this is my love letter to Treasure Planet and all things kind of space and still fantasy. I hope that you enjoy it as much as we have loved playing around in it. This first arc is going to be following the adventures of Shadi, Tundra, and Ollie. These are three lovable and maybe actually unlovable buffoons. They all have major trust issues, and they go on a pretty epic and unexpected journey together. And when I tell you that we had a blast doing this, we still regularly will email and message each other and say just how much we miss getting to hang out and to create these episodes together, because it genuinely was the most fun. We had a great time on this first arc of the campaign, and it was just awesome. It was really, really cool. So there are 10 episodes in this arc. 10! I know, it's our longest arc yet, and we did that very purposefully because we really wanted to give you guys a chance to sit with the characters and to learn all about them, their bad sides and their good sides, and I think the result is pretty amazing. So if you want to listen to all 10 episodes right now, all back to back, and just binge the heck out of this thing, then you can do over on our Patreon, where you will also get access to the Arc Box, which is where we talk about everything that just happened in the episode. We have an absolute blast in some of those Arc Box, so definitely worth checking out if you want to. We also even did some what we are calling rewritten heroes episodes about this arc, which is basically where we look at these characters and we ask, what if one pivotal thing was different in their backstory or in an event that happened during the arc? And we take them down a completely different path, and they were really, 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 really fun. So we also have those available over on the Patreon right now. So full sort of edited bonus episodes, which are absolutely amazing and well worth a listen. This first arc was probably my favorite Rotating Heroes arc to date. I absolutely adore it. I love these three. I think they brought so much wonderful chemistry. It's so funny. I hope that you enjoy it as much as we did. So I will get out of your hair, but just before I do, I just want to draw your attention to our merch store as well, because we have not only some cool new Axis items, but we even have the long awaited Coco Corner merchandise. So you can now get yourself a Coco Corner mug, a Coco Corner t-shirt, and even Coco Corner stickers. So please go ahead and check out the merch store, which is in the link in the description below, where you can get your hands on some of that cool stuff right now. Thank you so much for listening. We love and appreciate you for being here. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and get into this episode 1, part 1 of the Axis campaign.
And now presenting the Rotating Heroes Podcast.
Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes Podcast, everybody. I am Jasper William Cartwright, and I am so excited to say that we are officially starting Campaign 2 of the Rotating Heroes Podcast. And to do it with me, we have some extremely cool, funny, and amazing guests, and one of them who's not. But I'll let you decide which one.
It's me.
Well, who is me? Introduce yourself. Tell everyone who you are.
Me is Erin Keefe.
Yeah!
I've been here before.
Welcome
back to
the show, Erin.
I played Vanna before, but I'm mixing it up today.
Yeah!
For a new campaign.
So happy to have you back, Erin. Thank you so much. And next to Erin is...
Me is John Mackey. I'm very excited to be here. I did some stuff in the first campaign. It was very fun.
Mm.
And I'm also mixing it up a little bit, playing something out of my wheelhouse and comfort zone, you could say.
Love it.
It's exciting stuff.
Who is the third me in the room?
I'm the unfunny one. It's me. It's me, George Primavera. Hi, guys. I'm George. My first time on Rotating Heroes Woo! Podcast. I'm so excited. So I'm not mixing anything up. There's nothing to mix.
This is just down the line.
You know? Yeah. So I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, very excited. This is a start of a brand new world and a whole new thing. I was just explaining to you guys off air that, like, I feel like I've planned so much and also so little, you know, because I'm like, I spent so long going into the weeds of all of the different corporations in the world and what they all do. And then I was like, oh yeah, but what are the players going to do? I just got lost in it. So I'm very excited to actually see how it comes together and how you guys add a bit of color and flavor to this world and make it even better and cooler and more awesomer. Because that's definitely a word.
Deep Space Dial.
Ah, traveler, you've picked the right time to arrive. Look around you. Axis is alive. Skyships soar higher than ever, their sails catching the golden light of the world on the rise. The markets are bursting with color, with sound, with inventions so new that the ink on their blueprints ain't even dry yet. The forge masters of Anvil strike metal that hums with power, and the scholars reach for secrets buried in the stars. An opportunity is endless here, my friends, as endless as the horizon itself. This is a new dawn, a new age of bold ideas and even bolder people. The dreamers, the builders, the risk takers, they're all carving their names into history, pushing Axis towards a brighter future. And you? You come just in time. There's a fortune to be made, legends to be written, and wonders to be uncovered. But golden ages have a habit of making people forget. Forget what came before. Forget the cost of flying too close to the sun. Forget that just beyond the light, shadows are watching and waiting. So enjoy it, traveler. Bask in it. Make your mark. And welcome to Axis. You will hear this on the radio station as it's playing a little box on the side. Immediately starts blaring out some sort of jaunty little tune as we see a trio sat around as a little wooden kind of table. It's very rush-shorn on the top. And you're in like a little like kind of hold kind of cabin area. There's a couple other tables. And why don't we go ahead and introduce our trio, find out who we have sat around this table. As I'm assuming you're probably playing a round of cards, maybe?
Yeah, we're playing Go Fish. But there's like a good amount of money in the middle of the table. So yeah.
We'll say the pot currently is at like 200 credits.
Whoa.
Which for audience listening at home and for you guys actually, 200 credits is probably like a couple months' wages.
Oh my, on a Go Fish game?
Yeah, on Go Fish.
That's good because Ollie is a gambler.
That he is. Okay, awesome. And the reason there is so much money is because you just finished a job. So you all, you're all sitting a little flush right now, put it that way. So, why don't we start? We'll go in reverse order of how we introduced. Why don't you, George, introduce your character for us?
Ollie Flash is a dragonborn paladin, oath of devotion to the Hippocratic Oath, whatever the version of that is on Anvil, devoted to the field of medicine. Ollie is an ex-convict for a crime that he didn't technically knowingly commit at the border of Anvil. He is a gambling man. He was a party guy at med school on Anvil when he was going in to learn stuff and didn't pay much attention. Instead, relies a lot on his innate abilities as a radiant dragonborn to be able to channel the light at the center of the planet of Anvil. He is currently about half a bottle deep in the midst of this Go Fish game because he is the best at bluffing when he can't tell if he's lying or not. And I think Ollie right now just kind of sways over onto the table, reaches over to where the radio show is coming out of and kind of turns the volume down.
That guy gets really dark at the end of pretty much every broadcast. Yikes, man, right?
Oof.
All right, all right.
He was just saying how excited he was.
let me think here.
Go ahead and roll me a d20, but do not tell us what you roll. And sat next to Ollie Flash, we have...
Shadrick Shaddy Turlet. You may recognize my last name as the same last name as one of the most powerful families in the system, the Turlets. I'm a wild magic.
You're a powerful turlet.
I'm a very powerful turlet.
I love so deeply that one of like the major factions in my whole world, John got to name,
and it's turlet.
Came with turlet. It's great.
Yeah, but I'm a wild magic barbarian who is trying to sort of establish himself outside of his last name. He is very bad at sort of controlling his emotions. Mostly it comes out in sort of sadness and depression because he has been basically sort of sent away by his family because they don't see him as like a valuable sort of asset for the growth and sort of expansion of their
and I they absolutely
company.
Yeah, as a family they absolutely talk like a corporation, right?
Yeah,
they're like,
yeah.
You know, they sorry, we're gonna have to let you go.
Yeah, they laid me off from like, the family and but they gave
you got
me
a good severance.
They gave me great severance by sort of setting me up with like a good position on one of their ships.
Yeah.
And so I sort of went off with like this like idea that like I'm gonna prove myself, I'm gonna become like a name. Like, my first name's going to be just as important as my last name. And people are going to know me. And so I sort of set off on this, like, new journey separate from my family to sort of try to establish who Shadrick Shaddy Turlet is outside of being the son of one of the richest people in the world or one of the richest families in the world or in the universe. And I think in this moment, I didn't have like a lot of like socialization as a kid. I've never played Go Fish before.
Yeah.
I don't know the rules. I don't know how to win.
Sure.
And so I am currently like sitting there just completely confused about what's happening and kind of just.
You can roll a d20, but you'll roll with disadvantage then.
Right.
So roll twice and then remember the lower number, but don't share it with us. And then last but not least, we see...
Tundra. Tundra is a Azamar rune knight fighter. She's from the dark and cold side of Anvil. She's super physically imposing, and she's got like bright white hair that's in two braids. She has half-moon sunglasses that are frosted at all times, so you can't really see her eyes, but even in the way that she stands, she's kind of like impossible to read. She's a lot of emotions, but they very rarely make their way to the surface. She always wears her armor, which used to be very ornate and like pearly iridescent, but now has like since rusted after being handed down so many times. She's got two swords at her hip that she's always kind of protecting. And she lost a love on Anvil and hasn't been back since it happened. So she's just sort of been taking jobs, protecting people, being hired security, and now this job. And she is incredibly competitive, so she's just really stewing in this game of goldfish. If Shaddy wins, she's gonna absolutely.
She's gonna flip the table.
She's gonna. She's. She's like, as long as he doesn't win, she can
That's
manage this.
Fine. Okay. Go ahead. Roll me a d20. Don't tell us what you get. So you're sitting there, you know, playing the game. This is definitely something you've done a lot before. I kind of imagine that it always starts off really jovial, but now you're at that point in the game where everyone's just kind of staring each other out because you realize actually it's quite a lot of money at the table. You've like let this go maybe a little too far. So what we're going to do here is everyone is going to say the number that they have, quote unquote, because if you want to lie, you absolutely can, essentially. And then if after like everything's done, you... are still in, so like you'll have a chance to basically be like, okay, I think you're telling the truth, so I'm gonna like get out, and you won't lose any money, right? So if you say, oh, okay, I think that actually George has won, so I'm gonna step out, or you can essentially try and like, no, like I think actually I am gonna win, and then everyone will reveal an actual number at the end, and then we'll see who wins the
money. Whoever's got the highest number wins.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So whoever gets the highest number wins.
Oh.
So everyone's gonna say now, go around and say their number, but if you want to, you can lie. You don't have to be honest. And then we'll have a round of like, are you going to stay in and potentially lose money, or are you going to try and then we'll reveal the actual number at the end, okay?
All right.
This is me coming up with gambling mechanics on the fly.
That's great.
It's a great gambling mechanic. All right, well, I'll start off.
Yeah.
Guys, I hate to tell you, I got an 18 here. If you guys want to just get out now, I get it. I understand. I don't want to ruin any friendships at the table.
And that's good. That's a good number. That's a good number. That's a good number.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good number.
I'm going to stay in because I got a 6.
Oh, buddy.
No, man. That's, what? You know what? Sure.
It's good. Is it the high? Oh, wait. No, I'm so sorry.
If you got a 6.
I got confused. I thought the low number was the win. All right. Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, I'll stay in just to see.
They've been dealing with this for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I'll just stay in.
That's a good move. I'll stay in to see. All right.
Yeah.
You're going to hate this, but what a time to roll a natural 20.
Oh, yeah, Tundra? you got a 20 over there, huh?
There's a couple of crewmates now that have kind of sidled in, and they're kind of like watching, like, ooh, shit.
Nobody look at my dice.
this is getting juicy. Hold on.
All right.
Remember earlier I asked if you had any 4s, and you had 4s, so I'm probably doing pretty well over here.
Yeah. I'm not shaken. I think Tundra... I think you're a dirty liar.
Oh. Uh-oh, buddy. Don't eat the cards. What are you doing?
Get those out of your mouth. We have to reuse
them. What do you mean?
Those are not clean.
Well, they have fruit on the back of them.
Yeah, it's not a scratch and lick. You gotta stop doing that.
Tom's never seen this before.
Okay, you think I'm a liar? I was going to maybe sort of sit out, maybe go to the bathroom, but I think I guess I'll stay in then.
I guess I'll stay in too. Then.
And I'll also stay in.
Okay, Jenny. All right, Jenny.
Your cards are wet.
You've been biting and folding your cards, so when they get reshuffled, we know what they are.
Like, you know that he actually has a 6 because, like, he dribbled all over it in the last round.
That's the same one with the corners missing because you ripped it off with your teeth.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. All right. Look, I'll figure it out. I just want to see the end of the game. If you have to leave, if you get out. I don't want to leave. I want to see the end of the game.
We wouldn't have made you leave.
Yeah, you have to leave if you get out.
But you say you're out. If you're out, that means you have to leave, right?
Okay, what am I doing? Yeah. You have to leave.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for staying in.
All right, so I'm staying in. And I guess, you know, screw it. I'll put in more money.
Okay, the pot's now at 250.
Oh, my God.
Credits.
You just raised the pot.
Look, guys, maybe I'm playing a big trick on you. Maybe I'm some dumb guy who's trying to play, doesn't
Ollie
know how to
Tundra
do a trick.
Make eye contact, like, no.
Yeah, literally, like, all of the crew around are like, no, 100% he's bluffing. No way.
Okay, well, let's see. We'll see, won't we?
I know it's the middle of the day, but I'm going to have to go to bed after this. This has been exhausting.
Okay, is everyone... Actually, well, I guess technically, if we're doing it like poker rules, you guys have got a call to stay in. So you each need to put
in
15.
Well, I have an 18, and I don't believe that 20 for a second. So I'm going to push in.
Okay, it's now to 300, the pot. Yeah, and it needs to go to 350 in order for you to stay in, Tundra.
If I don't win this, I'm ruined.
I guess I'm going to push this all in.
Okay, so 350 now. We're talking like 5 months' worth, like, wages right now. Just in the middle of, like, there is crew members just sat there, like, their jaws on the floor.
I push in $100 more. I raise 100 more.
Oh, Shaddy, why are you doing that, man?
I just want to see the end.
This is not going to feel good to win.
450 now in the middle.
Everybody's watching. I got to push.
We'll say that you've got like you've got like 20 credits left now.
If you turn down this kind of bet in prison.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Bad
everybody punks you. So.
I fold.
You fold? Okay.
All right. Looks like it's down to me and you, Ollie.
Okay. Shaddy.
So it's 500. I think it's 550 in the pot now.
You wanted to see the end of the game.
I did. I
why don't
see
you?
The end
why
the
don't
game.
You kick us off?
All right. I have a 6.
All right. Ollie gets this look on his face like he just took like a melatonin, where he can't believe. Like, oh. I had a 9.
Oh!
Ollie gets up and high fives every crew member in the room.
Yes!
And that's how it's done!
Yes!
That's how it's done!
Nice!
Tundra. Yeah, Tundra! Yeah!
Tundra, who had a 10,
yeah, Tundra.
Gets up and goes to the window and starts mumbling. You know when Arya Stark whispers people she wants to get vengeance against falls asleep? Tundra starts going to the window and starts mumbling a list that sounds like that. She is white hot rage.
Tundra, it's okay. It's just money.
Kill all your
fans.
Oh,
yeah. It's just money.
I can't believe
this
I pulled it.
The best day of my life.
We'll make more, Tundra. Just chill out, you know? Congratulations to Ollie. That was an awesome game.
Ollie is not listening. He's still high-fiving every crew member.
Let's go! Let's
your, little yes. goblin party, roommate is just like, yeah, awesome. How much do I get?
Oh, man. If you promise to stop staring at me in the middle of the night, I'll give you 5 a night.
Deal.
Great. All right. This is not sanitary.
Nope.
You got a rash there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ollie takes upon his responsibility on the ship.
Yep.
And Leon hands us the rash as he shakes his goblin friend's hand.
Wow. You're like space Jesus.
Who? Who is that?
I don't know.
Tundra's eyes twitching you are trying to explain that there'll always be more money.
It's like an endless supply. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't understand. It's like, this is like, this might as well just be like, ice. There's so much water that you just keep making ice. Money's the same way. It takes a long time sometimes to accrue. Mm.
She grabs one of his cards and puts it in his mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, this got a banana.
You're gonna say banana.
I could taste it.
You hear a bing boom, and on the side of the wall, there's a little kind of pipe, and at the end, kind of has a nozzle or the top of one of those really old record players. It kind of just opens it, fans out, and out of there, you can hear someone clearly leaning into a pipe somewhere else in the ship, just being like,
Can I get Tundra? Can you come to the deck, please? Tundra, can you come to the deck, please? Thank you.
Tundra looks around, and she. As she walks out of the room, she knocks over the game table.
Nobody touched my credit.
So effortlessly.
Hey, back up against the wall.
Do you guys go with, are you going with Tundra?
Hey, Tundra, I know there's some bad blood right now, but you want an escort?
Yeah. But who's going to protect you?
From me.
From me.
I'll do it.
Thanks, Shaddy. All right, let's go.
So, as you head up to the deck, you realize that you have, you are approaching your destination, which is, in fact, Anvil. You will be passing through Vega side, but only to go to the dark side, of Anvil. And as you look down, you're sort of entering the orbit of this planet, and you can see the sort of brilliant sort of sands stretching out for miles and miles. So, you find yourself on the deck of the Silver Hawk. The Silver Hawk is a fusion of ancient seafaring aesthetics and arcane engineering. It is an elegant form and sort of contradiction of nature and metal. From a distance, it kind of resembles just a big sort of three-mast sort of sailing ship. But upon closer inspection, the hull is wrought from smooth blackened steel with veins of copper filigree that run alongside the structure. And they seem to pulse faintly as the circuitry and sort of electricity passes through the ship itself. And this is the thing about this ship, is it is somewhat living. It has no sails, but all along the mast you see bark, and the mast goes up into a rather glorious looking tree. At the heart of the ship, where the captain's quarters would normally be, that is where the navigator exists. They wear a helm, which allows them to communicate more freely with the tree itself and sort of guide it through space. Now you sort of see on the deck of the ship that the veins that sort of spread across the deck are actually made up of the roots of this tree, and they spread all over the entire hull. The leaves themselves seem to be, of this tree, seem to shimmer and shift with different coloured hues, and you can usually tell what mood the ship is in depending on what colour the leaves are currently. And you see that currently the leaves are like a auburn kind of orange, usually pretty relaxed, pretty just sort of happy, but maybe it's sort of turning a slightly more red the closer you're getting to Anvil, because they have to break through in down and through the atmosphere, which is always a bit of a stressful time for the ship. So The ship itself does think, though these ships typically are in what's called a quiet state. So essentially it's fully sentient, but when certain sentient machines decide they always want to retire, they've kind of had enough of like doing a lot of thinking, they might take a job as putting themselves in a quiet state for a while, where they just get to like drift and do one sort of mindless task for a couple of hundred years, essentially. And that's what this ship is. And the make of this ship is a Verdant Mariner. That's the like make and model of this ship. It is not actually a Turlet-made ship.
Turlets didn't make this ship?
Yeah.
This is un-Turlet-touched?
However, there is a Turlet-made ship on board, as there is Bugsley. Bugsley is a little sort of small four-person kind of almost like vessel which you use to do sort of slightly smaller tasks, and it looks like a little bee. With it also has a little tree growing out of it, but like a tiny little spruce. And actually, for anyone who's seen the official artwork, you have seen Bugsley. So he exists in the bow of the ship, and you can sort of scoot him out at any point if you should need to. And you find yourselves up on the deck of the ship, and you look now out into the shimmering nebula, the nebula that provides these sort of colorful currents that ships can ride on, that offer a speed boost at times. And you can see how the nebula is living. It's filled with creatures, with life. It's almost akin to being in the middle of the ocean as opposed to out in the vast expanse of nothingness of space. It's very filled. And below you see Anvil. The ship slowly sort of comes in. You end up breaking through the atmosphere. However, you on the deck don't feel too much because you're shielded by the tree and its magic. You do the normal thing where the navigator like hails in to someone at Anvil. There's like a little sort of station there. They just, you know, they sort of describe what you all are doing. And it's at this point that Hubert comes up to you and says, oh, hello, good to see you all. Listen, Tundra, you've got a little experience with this. The security tower that we were using to get clearance to go Darkside, it's not responding. Normally, you know, we hail them and then they sort of give us a clearance and then we can travel over the rift. The rift is the name of the sort of wall that divides the two sides. But it doesn't. No one's there. Would you have any? Should we just go? Would that be bad? Are we likely to get sort of shot at or something if we do that?
Tundra's a little distracted because she hasn't seen her home planet since she left. And then she, like, sort of stares off at it and then shakes a little and is like, yeah, they'll kill you. For real.
They will. Okay, that's... okay, good. Good, that's awesome.
Yeah,
okay.
And you got arrested right on that border, so you...
Oh, yeah, but...
You did? I thought,
You
told
me,
it was... Right, we don't need to discuss.
Whatever I told you I would default to as being the accurate story. You know, it's been a while. It's been a year. I forget the details.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Okay. Oobastank, my man. That's a nickname we call him ever since he got covered in Gak juice on that one planet. What was that planet called?
That Sim, yes.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yes, stanky.
Tundra looks at Ollie like that's for beating me at cards is making you feel a little nervous for a moment. Now we're even.
I mouth, shut the fuck up.
And then I mouth, you shut the fuck up.
Ah. They're not being as quiet as they think they are.
It's completely dark. You're not hearing anything from them?
No. Would you be willing to sort of speak on our behalf maybe if we sort of pull up slowly? Would that be okay? Yeah, okay.
I can give it a shot, but something is amiss if they're not responding.
Yes, that's what we thought, but we don't have any of the requisite paperwork to go through any of the other towers. We'll be there for a long time, and then we'll miss the drop-off. So
right, because normally they would love telling us to fuck off.
Yeah, yes.
They would relish in it, so I'm surprised.
So hopefully that will be... Anyway, we'll be there shortly. Don't worry. And as you land, as you're sort of landing into Anvil and sort of... You're now skating across this kind of multicolored sand. And you see that the sand itself sort of starts to shift slowly from gorgeous kind of almost like ocean-like sand into kind of lush kind of green fields. There's a couple of like farms and things. This essentially, as you get to the border, like this is like the only place in Anvil, like kind of around this ring where actually like there is like farmland. There is like, because essentially the temperature is just the right degree for people to farm. And you can see the rift up ahead, this sort of imposing kind of grey wall that extends quite high. And you can see this little tower is one sort of dead center. And every half an hour, you hear a little bing, and you know that that's like a sort of cue to get another layer on, essentially. As the temperature is dropping kind of rapidly, you start like putting on clothes so that you adjust at the right pace until eventually you're like gloves on, little hats, like, you know, boots.
You're
like,
for
big,
sure
thick
wearing
boots.
Mittens.
Yeah.
you look like the kid from A Christmas Story, yeah. with his coat.
Oh, you got one of those big puffy ones? Yeah.
Also, this whole time, Shadi is sort of like standing in a corner, like rehearsing a conversation. And you hear him being like, I really think I can be of value on this trip today, sir. Aww. Please, like, he's like trying to like pitch himself as like, I could do something really special today if you'll just give me a shot.
Absolutely incredible.
I'm gonna quick just a little radiant breath onto my cigarette. Yep. Like a little torchlighter.
So you've got like a technique where you kind of really do it out of the side of your mouth, and it kind of comes out like a little jet, you know, like one of those really extreme lighters, you know,
like a welding tool. Like.
Yeah, literally, like,
just blow a big thing of smoke right over the tree. Oh, sorry.
Can you see just like a bunch of leaves right over your head, just turn like bright red for a second?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, shoot.
The crew generally is relaxing. There's a couple of swabbies just like, you know, sorting out the deck or whatever it is. And then as you get closer, you can see like Bastion security. Bastion security is like, they have like all the defense contracts on Anvil, and they built the rift, this big wall. And you see it kind of like branded everywhere. This tower definitely still appears dark, however. But if you would like to go ahead and roll me a perception check as you roll up to the tower itself.
All of us?
Yeah. Whoever would like to.
A 14.
16.
So with a 14, you can see that the tower is dark, but you do in fact see that there is someone inside the tower. You can see like a little ways off, but there's someone clearly kind of walking, maybe stopping, looking, you know. With a 16, you notice, Tundra, that there does appear to be a couple of people like around the base of the rift itself, and they're sort of like pacing backwards and forwards, and they seem to stop as the ship kind of comes into view, as the Silverhawk comes into view. And you pull up to this tower, you see that there is a quite a small-looking, but quite a serious-looking bugbear in there, wearing a sort of Bastion security outfit. And yeah, he's going to look over at the ship, and assuming that you're kind of sort of presenting yourself at the edge of the ship in order to talk, he looks and says, excuse me. What is your business? Say your business.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Tundra. I'm from here. We're here on official business, and we tried to contact you on the ship, but it didn't quite go through.
Yeah. Yes. We have had a power outage. So
can I roll to see if he's lying?
You can. Yes. Of course. You can roll me an insight check.
8.
He's not following any of the, like, normal protocol, but, like, there's no sort of reason for you to distrust him at this point. It's, like, it's just a bit off, a bit weird.
Okay. I'm a little bit more attuned to deception.
Yeah.
Can I also make an insight check based on if he seems nervous?
100%.
Okay. I'm not paying attention that close. 9.
Yeah, okay.
That's a 9.
I'm going to also, just to see, 3.
We trust you implicitly.
I was going to say, I confidently say, I think we can trust this guy.
Yeah. Your official business. What is the official business?
Tundra squints her eyes because she didn't really ask. She's a little distracted because she is like a very emotionally overwhelmed that she's back on the planet.
Yeah. Hubert's trying to mouth it to you from like across the ship.
All right. 2 words. Sounds like we're going back to...
Package.
We're delivering a...
Yes.
We're delivering a baggage... package. We're delivering a package.
Hubert just sighs and looks at his feet.
Tundra looks down at the sand and like winces because she's having like a memory.
You're delivering a package. Okay. For where? And again, Hubert looks at snaps up and looks at you and is like,
movie. 3 words.
Giants. Giants. Pain. Yes.
Bane. For giants? No. Fuck giants. Giants.
What are we doing?
Everyone perks up. Giants Bane.
Oh, you're going to Giants. Okay.
We're going to Giants Bane to deliver a package.
Well, okay, that's... Yes, fine. Well, it's 1,000 credits for the border crossing.
Tundra looks at Ollie.
I put my credit counter back in my pocket and look around like, I don't know what's happened.
Yep, 1,000 credits.
It's not normally 1,000 credits.
Yeah, it is. Rule changes. Yep.
Rule changes?
Mm-hmm.
Since when?
When were you last here?
Oh, that sounds like bullshit.
What was that?
When were we last here, man? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm just trying to establish the, you know, when, how much of you've missed, right?
I'm not normally this kind of gal, but can I speak to your manager?
My manager is indisposed currently, yeah.
Dead?
No. So just 1,000 credits and then you can be on your way.
Hoobie, this guy wants 1,000 credits.
I'm not giving you 1,000 credits. We already paid 250 for, and we filled out all the paperwork.
Well, how important is this package?
What do you mean how important is the package? We filled out all the paperwork and we paid our $250 entry.
But this guy's saying that we owe 750 more credits than I think.
Or I think it's another 1,000.
It's another 1,000? Oh, man.
Okay, Hubert rolled a really good insight check. I don't think this man is on the level. Is it just me, or does that uniform look like it fits him properly?
Yeah, it kind of looks like he's wearing his dad's clothes.
Yes.
It's really cute, actually.
I don't know what to do. The captain is asleep, and I don't like to wake them.
Listen, I don't like to do this, but I can talk to him. I don't like to do this.
Charlotte, no.
I don't like to use my family name to get me anything, okay? But
that's
if it's going to help
risk,
us,
Charlotte.
If it's going to help us here, I'll talk to the guy. Again, I don't like to use my family name, but I'll talk to the guy.
Credits.
All right, we need a backup plan because clearly something is amiss here. So if your name doesn't work or it sets them off like
credits.
It usually does.
1,100.
We got it. We got it, man. All right. So we're talking for a second. Hold
Wait,
on.
It's increased in price?
Yep.
Okay.
Just happened. Just got a message.
Please don't penalize us anymore. We're just discussing. We'll turn around.
Look, another message. 1,150.
All right, Charlotte, you talk
this.
To him.
I got this.
And if it doesn't work, though, we might need to fight, guys.
I got this. Shaddy takes like a step towards the end of the ship. He says, "Hey there, fellas."
Hello.
I don't like to do this.
He loves to do this. He loves to do this.
But do you know who I am?
Nope.
I'm going to walk behind him like a hype man, like, oh, man, you guys got no idea who you're talking to. Help, action.
Correct. Ah, nice. Okay.
Nice.
I'm Shaddy freaking Turlet. Okay? Do you know my last name? Have you heard my last name before? I hate doing this. Do you know my last name?
He loves doing this.
So, wait, sorry. Just clarify. when you say Turlet, you mean actually...
Yeah. Shaddy Turlet of the Turlets.
Okay, and what do you want me to do with that information?
Let us through for the money that we paid.
Yeah.
Or how
about this? How much did you say it would cost?
1,000 credits?
$9.95.
No, man, don't do that.
It's a deal.
No, it's not.
It's just money.
No.
It's not less money in the grand scheme, Shaddy. It's...
Let us through for what we already paid, or Shaddy's daddy is going to be pretty upset.
Yeah. Get him, boys!
Oh, no!
Wait, what? They were lying?
Some of the dudes that were around the base of the wall suddenly unveiled these, like, kind of big cylinder-like tubes, and they push a big button on the base, and you see these, like, almost like mechanical metal hands come up and, like, latch themselves onto the underside of your ship. And for anyone who's been to Mardin before, which is obviously where you're from, you would recognize this metal as inertium, which is basically a type of metal that can change the gravity of an object. So as soon as this thing latches onto the underside of the ship, it starts it basically changes the gravity of the ship and starts pulling it down towards the ground at quite some velocity. I'm going to need everyone to go ahead and roll initiative.
Oh, no.
Change of plan, boys. That guy's a Turlet. We'll get way more than 1,000 credits if we take him alive.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. If you've enjoyed it, please go ahead and check out the Rotating Heroes Patreon. You can join for a little as $5 a month. You get episodes months early. You get the Arc Box. You get bonus content. You get artwork. You get money off of merchandise, all kinds of good stuff. It's a really cool place to be. Plus, we post loads of updates about the show, and there's loads of opportunities for you to get involved in the show itself, including giving feedback and all kinds of good stuff like that. So please go and check it out if you get a chance. This episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast was produced by 12 Sided Studios, by our executive producer, Chad Pytel, and producer, Jess Jewell. Visual graphics and design work done by Kyle Crompton. The character art by Erin Angelini. These episodes are edited wonderfully and masterfully by Oliver Moore. And I have been your GM, Jasper William Cartwright, along with the cast of Erin Keefe, John Mackey, and George Primavera. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.